wondering, I think they thought that you and I were the same age because your comment before. She was in high school. I was in college at Andrews, and I was a Korean youth pastor for 2 years. So that's kind of how that whole thing came about. So thanks so much. I'm very proud of my daughter here. So, okay, thank you. Thanks, Joyce.
Okay. So how many of you were not here earlier today? Okay, just a few people. Okay, well, wonderful. So we'll get started. Today, my talk is entitled Eating for Optimal Immunity or Eating for Autoimmunity. And I think either one is fine because, you know, where is it that 70% of your immune system lives? In the gut. And so you can see if your gut is not healthy, you are going to be having a lot of issues with your immune system. Now, are we having issues with the immune system here today? Yes. Now, give me an example of what an immune system disease might be.
Arthritis.
What else?
Allergies.
You know, this was something that was a revelation to me, and it came very recently, that allergies would be related to cancer or autoimmune disease, because all of them have to do with an immune system that is confused. And that means that your digestive system needs to be healthy, and that's why so many people, when they detoxify and this kind of thing, their allergies go away, right? Did you know that hay fever, allergies, this was virtually unheard of until the 1800s with the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, with all the pollution that came into the environment? Do you think that the Lord created Adam and Eve so that when they would go out into the Garden of Eden, they would sniff a beautiful flower and say, oh, achoo! I can't tolerate you. Is that the way that the Lord made it? And yet, this is considered normal today. We are so used to being allergic to grass and allergic to all these things that we were created to enjoy. Amen? It's something else. And so today, as we're talking about this subject of eating for optimal immunity, know that it's not just about avoiding disease. It's about being able to function and get your life back and be able to navigate through all these challenges that Satan is throwing in our way. Amen? For those of you who aren't aware, again, this is the Lifestyle Center Years Restored that my partner, Mercy Ballard, her husband, Anthony Ballard, they have in Northern California, not too far from here, about an hour and a half from here. And this is a picture. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on my phone. This is, let's see. Yes. This is the Lifestyle Center that Mercy and Anthony Ballard have. And this is the cookbook that was published in 2019, and it was based upon the recipes that are served there at Years Restored. And also for our online course, Autoimmune Recovery Plan and Men Missionary, it is the textbook for that. You can see that we have an online course at menmissionary.com. And our first online course was the Autoimmune Recovery Plan. This is a screenshot of one of our food demonstration videos, and we share about how to make every single meal in the meal plan, the 7-day meal plan. And so that's what we did from 2019 on. What we also did during the pandemic is that we started a YouTube channel where we meet every Sabbath afternoon at 3 p.m. and we share about topics that we think are relevant for Seventh-day Adventists. This one was with Pastor Conrad Vine, Megatrends Impacting Religious Liberty. The things that we share about, we talk about the 9 laws of health. How many of you are familiar with the 8 laws of health, like New Start? Yes. So there is one law of health in wholeness that is not a new start. Can you guess what that is? The environment. Habits is kind of like temperance, you know, like going to sleep at the right time and, you know, what kind of, you know, if you have an addiction to coffee or this kind of thing. But what we're finding is that the environment has a huge impact on your health. It has an even bigger impact than diet does. If you're exposed to certain chemicals, it can have an impact on your health that's like 10, 15 times as much as nutrition. And if you're exposed to mold and this kind of thing in your home, that can severely impact you no matter what kind of diet you're on. So these 9 laws of health, water, habits, oxygen, love, environment, nutrition, exercise, sunlight, and sleep, these are all very important, and if we are lacking in any one of these things, we are not going to get our health back. I struggle with a few of these. I struggle with getting enough exercise. I struggle, especially in the Northwest, getting enough sunshine, and I struggle with getting enough sleep. And so when people say, hey, you're following all the laws of health, and why are you not getting better? I have to say, there are some areas in my life that I'm really praying and asking the Lord still to give me victory over. One of those is sleeping at a good time. And that's really hard to do when you have friends, family, where you feel like you need to get certain things done, right? Isn't it amazing that evolution cannot explain why humans might need to sleep? And yet, it's one of the most important laws, isn't it? Isn't that amazing that when we sleep is the time that our bodies are doing so much to heal? This is something that carries over into the subject of rest and the seventh-day Sabbath, isn't it? Did you know that the seven-day weekly cycle, that this is one area that people didn't know, like, where is the scientific evidence for us keeping the Sabbath? And there is a scientifically proven area that has been studied that does support keeping the Sabbath. Are you familiar with the Circus Septon rhythm? It's a weekly cycle that all cells have. And it's this cycle that every 7 days, you will find that patients who are recovering from pneumonia, they'll either die or get better. It's like every 7 days, you'll see this weekly cycle that all cells have. It's called the Circus Septon rhythm. Very interesting. Anyways, all of these areas need to be in place for us to have good health. Today, we're going to talk about nutrition. And today we're going to talk about nutrition. Now, the principles on which we base these are biblical principles. So God's ways are powerful. Luke 8 talks about how Jesus cast out demons. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? God's ways are humble and simple. Do you know what story 2 Kings chapter 5 is about? Anyone remember? It has to do with hydrotherapy. Naaman, very good. And what was the reason why Naaman did not want to do what the prophet said to do? It was too simple and too humble. There wasn't an expensive, glamorous drug rep there. And there, you know, sometimes have you found that when it comes to getting better, that it has to be expensive and it has to have a lot of R&D behind it before we believe it? Yes? And so we think, oh, this thing with water, it's too simple. When I got COVID, I have really bad lungs. The doctors don't know why my lungs are so bad, but I have obstruction and restriction. I look like a smoker. And so when I got COVID went straight to my lungs. And you could hear the water in my lungs. I couldn't expel all the air. And so I would breathe out, and then I would have nothing. And it was scary. I could listen to my lungs, and all this fluid was in my lungs. And My friends told me you need to do a fever bath. So how many of you have ever tried doing a fever bath? It's kind of scary. And so Mercy was at my house helping me because I had no strength and energy. I got into the hot water. I could only tolerate it for 10 minutes before my oxygen would desat. But guess what? One treatment of doing that hot bath, my lungs cleared up. And that in combination with doing like mullein teas and garlic and, you know, the onion broth and all the things that we have on our website about the antiviral protocol, I was able to heal. But isn't that amazing? Like some people with all this fluid in their lungs, they'd be on antibiotics and all kinds of things. And I got into the fever bath and the Lord just cleared it up. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, do you think that God would design it so that good health was only accessible to people who could afford it? No, I think he makes good health accessible to everybody. And he makes it safe. Are you familiar with that verse in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22? This is such a good verse. I'm going to read it to you here. It says this, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." And he added, what does it say? "No sorrow with it." What principle are you gaining from that? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added, no sorrow. When you take a medication, do you get any sorrow with that? We call those side effects. Yes. And I had a friend who was, he was the top worker in his company. And he developed depression. They put him on a depression medicine. And because of the side effects he developed from that, they put him on an anxiety medicine. And because of the side effects he developed from that, they put him on some other medicine. Pretty soon, he was on all kinds of medicine. And he went from being one of their top employees within 7 years. He got fired because of all these medications that he couldn't tolerate. Praise the Lord. With diet and lifestyle, he was able to get off of everything. And so he has his life back. The Lord is good. And he makes that these remedies are safe. Now, we do have to be careful how we use them. People doing fever baths have had issues. And so it can be a scary thing. You want to learn how to use these remedies in an intelligent fashion. And so we do want to learn how to do these things. But they make use of the things of nature, and they reveal the character of God. Amen? That's the most important thing. When we do natural remedies and teach people, we want to teach them about the character of God. Now, I want to share with you specifically about autoimmune disease and why this is an important subject, okay? Autoimmune disease, estimates of yearly increases in the overall worldwide incidence, that means new cases of autoimmune disease, and prevalence, which means already established cases of autoimmune disease, are 19.1% and 12.5%. Every year, the number of people who develop autoimmune disease goes up by almost 20%. That's amazing, isn't it? When I was growing up, I hardly knew anybody with autoimmune disease. And now we're seeing it all over the place. Now, we're also seeing an increase in anti-nuclear antibodies. Do you know what anti-nuclear antibodies are? These are antibodies that are being formed against you. So when you get sick, your body forms some memory cells. These are called antibodies that are being formed against the bacteria or virus or this kind of thing, right? And so now we're having a lot of people who are developing antibodies against self. That's a scary thing. From 1980 to 1991, there were 11% or 22 million affected people. From 1999 to 2004, 11.5% or 27 million affected individuals. From 2011 to 2012, 15.9% or 41 million individuals. The scary thing is that the values for 12 to 20-year-olds increased nearly three times over the study period. Oh, let's see. So 12 to 20-year-olds over this study period increased nearly threefold. Isn't that an amazing thing? What chance do children have today? You have a strong chance of being sick for anybody here who is alive on this planet at this time in Earth's history. Now, for you to develop autoimmune disease, you need three things to happen. You need to have a genetic predisposition, you need an inflammatory trigger, and you need gut permeability or leaky gut. So what is a genetic predisposition? A genetic predisposition would be someone in the family who has some kind of autoimmune condition, or maybe some, maybe they have fibromyalgia, which has not been classified yet. People don't know exactly what it is, but some of these mysterious things might also count. But for sure, if you have someone in the family who has an autoimmune condition, you more likely than not have some kind of genetic predisposition. Now, the other thing that you need is an inflammatory trigger. People are very concerned about genetics. We find that genetics accounts for approximately 30% of all autoimmune disease. The rest are due to environmental factors, including toxic chemicals, dietary components, gut dysbiosis, meaning that you don't have the right bacteria, viruses, and fungi living there, and infections. So, how about inflammatory triggers? Did you know that 80% of those who are diagnosed with an autoimmune condition can identify some very stressful event that happened around the same time? Either like maybe they had a loved one pass away, maybe they got a new job, something very, very stressful that happened. So these inflammatory triggers are very, very important. Inflammatory triggers can be pharmaceutical drugs, vaccines, oral contraceptives, hormone replacement therapy. They can be infections, they can be toxins, mold, pesticides, plastic, heavy metals, hair dyes, cosmetics, body care ingredients. They can be the wrong type of nutrition. It can be stress, as I said. And this I want to touch upon, stress as well as lifestyle practices. I have participated in a number of depression recovery programs. How many of you have participated in depression recovery programs? Yes. And you know what I was struck by in these depression recovery programs was that there were a lot of people who had been in the church for many years, people who were 60, 70, 80 years old, who were struggling with health problems like insomnia and needing a tranquilizer to go to sleep. Or they were struggling with lack of forgiveness or this kind of, and you would trace it back to something that happened in their childhood. Now, why am I talking to you about this? When we think of trauma, we tend to think of physical trauma. A lot of us are not aware of the emotional trauma that we have had. We have all had emotional trauma. How many of you are still struggling from emotional trauma? Yes, amen. And that trauma doesn't even have to be so severe. Some people, they're like, well, my parents didn't try to kill each other. No one in my family went to prison. My parents really love me. But if your parents didn't know exactly how to love you, can that be traumatic? Yes, it can be traumatic for a sensitive child, amen. And you can go through life telling yourself a story that isn't true that will cause you to still be wounded for the rest of your life. And how can that impact you? I want to illustrate from like a physical point of view. How many of you here garden? Now, if you go outside and garden, I have a lot of blackberry bushes. Have you ever been around blackberry bushes? What do you know about blackberry bushes? Thorns. You all know that, right? They catch all over everything. They cut you up, right? And so if I go outside and I'm trying to deal with all these blackberry bushes and they're cutting me up, right? What happens when I come home? You'll see redness. You'll see pain. What is that telling you? It's telling you my immune system is trying to go heal. right? My immune system trying to go heal my skin. That's why there's all this redness, there's all this pain, and this kind of thing. It's called inflammation. So a little bit of that is good, right? But what if I do that every single day? I'm constantly injuring myself in the same place. What's going to happen? What happens is this. You now have cells that are going to constantly try to repair this. It will deplete your immune system at some point. And you will go from having a localized problem to a systemic problem. Does that make sense? Because those cells were supposed to go do other things. But now you have employed them in doing something that they would not have had to do. Now, some of us are doing this with the food that we eat. You may not realize it. Some people say, I can eat whatever I want. I have an iron stomach. I don't feel it. There are some people here who, for instance, I have a friend who has intestinal inflammation, really bad. She was hospitalized years ago. And so she wasn't feeling that she was having any abdominal issues, and so she was going along life as normal. The only thing that she noticed was that she was having fatigue. And when she went to the doctor and they looked in, they found she had active inflammation once again in her intestines, and she couldn't feel it. See, intestinal inflammation does not manifest with the same symptoms that we're used to thinking. It can manifest with just eczema. It can manifest as arthritis. It can manifest as skin problems, pimples, this kind of thing. And brain fog, all of these things can be signs of intestinal inflammation. When I first started doing this, I went to a business meeting, and I met a pathologist who asked me what I was doing, and when I talked with him about food sensitivities, he said, oh, you know, I used to have psoriatic arthritis, and I got all kinds of testing done, and I found out I'm not sensitive to any food, but I was sensitive to plastic. And when I got the plastic out of my life, my psoriatic arthritis went away. How many of you are storing your food in plastic, drinking water from a lot of plastic water bottles, and not being careful about, you know, microwaving and this kind of things? A lot of people are microwaving their food in plastic and this type of thing. It's very interesting. This one man who doesn't necessarily believe in other health things found that he was able to get rid of psoriatic arthritis by getting rid of plastic. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Now, I have to tell you, you have to look at scientific literature with a very open mind and eye. And when I say this, I mean, like, on this list, you see the word vaccines. And I remember I was going to be put on a talk show type of thing. What do they call them? A podcast with a plant-based person. And he said, I noticed that you put here on your list of inflammatory triggers the word vaccines. And he said, this was prior to COVID. He said, haven't we established that vaccines are safe and effective? And I said, well, that may be, but we have found there are people within our community who have reported that after vaccination that they developed an autoimmune condition. And so we have to just let people know that that's a possibility. I was kicked off a podcast for that. And so I just want to let you know that we must be aware that if we're not allowed to explore possibilities, it makes you concerned. Are we really getting true science if we're not able to look and question everything? And so today, there is this tendency for science to say that everything needs to have randomized, large-scale trials. And I think those are important, to have large-scale trials. But in the meantime, anecdotal information has value, don't you think? Do you know a biblical principle that would illustrate that? Where in the Bible does it talk about anecdotes being important? Doesn't it say in Revelation that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of their testimony. Brothers and sisters, our stories are very important. And we don't want to allow the devil to do anything to cause us to feel ashamed of having a story. Amen? Amen. We want to look at our history and see what has worked and what hasn't. And I think especially when you have remedies and they are so quite safe, they have a good safety profile, it doesn't hurt to look into these things. Now, the other thing that needs to happen for you to develop autoimmune disease is for you to lose the barrier mechanism for your gut. Now, what I mean by that is, I'm going to show you a picture. Do you see this picture? These are healthy cells on the left moving to unhealthy cells on the right. This is the intestinal cell membrane. It is only one cell layer thick. So on your skin, you have a number of different layers of epithelium here. And so this skin functions as a good protective barrier. So when you go outside, you don't have all these viruses and bacteria getting into you, right? Same thing for your intestine. The intestinal cell wall, that epithelial cell layer, it protects you so that when you eat food, like when you go, like, how many of you have a garden that you're eating from? I don't necessarily wash everything. Sometimes I'll pick a pear off the tree and I'll and eat it, you know. Berries, I'll do that. The other day I ate a berry and I think I ate a bug and it was kind of spicy, you know. And so, so the thing about when we eat these things is that our body has some defense mechanisms, right? The stomach has hydrochloric acid, we have lysosome, we have lactoferrin, we have all these kinds of things. And then in the gut, we have these cells that are connected to each other with what we call tight junctions. And you can think of tight junctions as being like when cells are holding hands with each other. If you and I hold hands with each other, it's a lot more difficult for someone to get in between us, right? Same thing for these cells. And so those tight junctions, do you see them on the left-hand side? How the cells have little connections between each other, right? Now, what happens when you get sick and when you eat certain foods? For instance, in 2000, and I think it was the early 2000s, that Dr. Alessio Fasano out of Harvard University, his lab discovered that when you eat gluten, and you can see that that gluten molecule is the white little oblong thing, that your intestinal cells will make a protein called zonulin, that blue ball. When that blue ball attaches to the receptor on the cell membrane, so you see how it's attaching to that purple receptor there, it causes your cells to lose their tight junctions. They're no longer holding hands with each other. And so now you have an open pathway for bacteria, viruses, and other things to get through undigested food particles, and you can see that it causes there to be an inflammatory cascade that starts. And this is cascade of inflammation will come back and cause there to be damage to the intestinal cell wall. And so that's why your intestinal wall is not working well. What did you use those intestinal cells for? Well, they're very important for the purpose of digestion. When you digest food down to its smallest molecules, now you can absorb these nutrients into the body and use them. One common manifestation of having leaky gut, for instance, is anemia. You might have a part of the intestine that is supposed to absorb iron is not functioning, or zinc, or copper. And so you can see how this type of thing can contribute to malabsorption. So, this zonulin is the only human protein discovered to date that is known to reversibly regulate intestinal permeability by modulating intercellular tight junctions. And the two most powerful triggers for the release of zonulin in the small intestine are exposure to bacteria and to gluten. So this is a very interesting thing. Now, some of you are confused. Aren't you confused? Because didn't Ellen White say that we have to learn how to bake bread, right? And so you would wonder, why is it that wheat and gluten is getting such a bad rap? And for me as a Korean, you know, one of the things that we did a lot of was gluten patties, you know? And so it really goes against our, almost like our Korean heritage, to say that there's something that might be wrong with gluten. And I think that goes for many of our cultures. And so I remember hearing about this for the very first time and feeling so confused. But, you know, sometime around the 1950s, 60s, there was a lot of research being done to try to help with the problem of world hunger. And one of the plants that they studied was the wheat plant, and they wanted to produce a plant that could produce much more wheat. And this plant apparently produced about 10 times as much wheat as the original plant did, but in the meantime, it changed the structure of the food. And this may be one of the reasons for why this is happening. The other thing, though, may also be that since the 1990s when it became much more prevalent, was the spraying of glyphosate, the active ingredient of Roundup. How many of you are familiar with glyphosate and Roundup? Okay, so glyphosate or Roundup is something that is being used to kill weeds. How many of you even remember what it was like to kill a weed? Most of us are spraying them, right? I hope that we will not continue with that practice. If you're using glyphosate or Roundup, please look into other ways. You know, I love getting outside and weeding. Do you know why I love weeding? Because that's one of the best ways to interact with soil. And when you interact with soil, you are exposing yourself to bacteria. And one of these bacteria is called Mycobacterium vaccae. It is a bacteria that helps you get smarter. It actually will decrease anxiety. It will decrease depression. It will help with memory. And so if you go outside and you're interacting with the soil, you're going to improve your microbiome. Some of you are doing all kinds of probiotics and this kind of thing, but you're not interacting with your environment. And instead, you're spraying it dead. So I would not do this with, like, don't do this on public property. Like, if you go to a school or a library, they spray all that stuff with glyphosate. Do it only where you know it's safe, that they haven't been spraying, that there are no chemicals, that you can interact with the soil carefully. Amen? Now, the thing about glyphosate is that it has been patented in three ways. Now, we know it's a very powerful weed killer, but the other kind of patent that it has on it is that it will chelate minerals. Do you know what it means to chelate minerals? It means that it will bind and inactivate them. So have you ever used like a water distiller? You will do the water distiller and then all the minerals cake up on the sides of the canister, right? And for you to be able to clean that canister off, you have to put in something that is going to bind and inactivate those minerals. That is what glyphosate's other patent is for. It's a powerful industrial pipe cleaner. This is what we're putting in our food. Now, the other patent for glyphosate is that it is an antibiotic. Now, when you're eating food, you may not realize this, but you are getting hit with all of that glyphosate yourself. And so that glyphosate is binding your magnesium and calcium. It is changing your microbiome. It is having a very definite health effect. And it's also been classified as a carcinogen. Now, right now, in conventional medicine, if you go to a conventional medicine person, they're not really that clued in on the subject of leaky gut. Typically, what they will do for autoimmune disease is that they will try to help with inflammation by putting you on a steroid or something to change your immune system. If you go to somebody who believes more in alternative healthcare practices, does functional medicine and this kind of thing, they will believe in this whole idea of leaky gut and that kind of thing. But what they'll tell you is that for you to get better, you have to eat according to your evolution. And they will want you to go on a paleo diet, eat bone broth, and this type of thing. This will help a large number of people. One reason that this will help a large number of people is because most people are not on any kind of healthy diet. I have visited with people, I visited with a mother whose daughter had terrible eczema growing up, and her children don't like to eat, you know, fruits or vegetables. They like pasta and this kind of thing. And they love ice cream, you know, this type of thing. That's all they eat. I don't even know how people survive on this earth, but apparently they've been making it. They've been making it. But there is coming a time where we will have exposure to more and more terrible diseases. And I really believe God's people have to know how to eat for us to be able to survive this. Now, this is why, of course, we wrote the cookbook and did everything, because we believe that at this time where so many millions of people are developing autoimmune disease, and all that they are being told is that if you want to get better, you have to deny that there is a creator and eat according to a paleo philosophy, we believe that this is a place for the three angels' message to be made known to this population. And so that is why we wrote that cookbook. I want to share with you a story. This is a lady who came to Mercy's Lifestyle Center 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And at that time, she was 54 years old. She had been diagnosed with diabetes type 1 in 1981. That means that autoantibodies were destroying her pancreas. She was also diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease in 2012. And prior to coming to Years Restored, she was on 30 to 35 units of insulin. She weighed about 150 pounds almost. A lot of that was water weight. She had a lot of swelling and edema. She had a lot of weakness and fatigue. She was so fatigued, she spent all her time in bed. This lady has over 70 acres in Pennsylvania. She has horses, and she was unable to do anything except for lay in bed. She was so afraid of doing anything, she thought to fly across the states to come to California. She was afraid to do that. And she had terrible brain fog. Some people have such terrible brain fog, they can't answer your questions. They can't go to work anymore. And she had depression. She had these bumps on the backs of her arms, thighs, and knees. How many of you have funny bumps on your skin? And you're like, what is this all about? Your skin is one of your biggest detox organs. She had abdominal bloating, 3 to 4+ joint pain, poor distance vision, and her TPO, which is her thyroid peroxidase autoantibody. So this is a type of autoantibody against thyroid. It was 304, which is extremely high. Her hemoglobin A1C should be around 5. Look at what it was, almost 3 times that amount. It was 14.7. That is extremely high. That means her blood sugar is not being controlled well at all. So prior to coming, she was eating some salad and some meat. And her lifestyle, as I said, mostly in bed. Now, I went to Years Restored at the time that she was there. I was there on day 5 of her time there. And I didn't know any of this when I met her. She had such a strong family history. Her father had died from hyperthyroidism, her mother from pancreatic cancer. She had 2 children with Hashimoto's as well. Let me look. When I went to Years Restored, I went on day 5. She had gone through 5 days where they didn't eat food necessarily, but they were drinking detox teas. They were drinking poultice drinks. You know what poultice drinks are? Have you ever made a poultice for your skin with charcoal or clay or this kind of thing? So they would make a drink with charcoal, clay, diatomaceous earth, and this kind of thing. And they would be drinking these kinds of drinks. They would be drinking drinks to help flush the liver, to get rid of parasites. 5 days of doing this and doing infrared sauna and this type of thing. When I saw her, we all went on a walk together. And she walked with us all the way out to the gate, which probably was like a mile and a half or so. And she kept remarking, oh, this is amazing. Like, I haven't walked out this far before. And I didn't know her story. I thought that it was just, you know, normal. I thought she was just one of us. And I realized, no, this woman has not been walking for years. Isn't that amazing? So what were some of the interventions that took place? Well, what we do when we do the autoimmune plant-based protocol, we do charcoal every evening, we do aloe before the meals and at bedtime, we do turmeric powder, we do a large amount of greens every day. They do juicing as well as salads and this kind of thing. We do onion and garlic broth for the very sick. But now we're doing this pretty much across the board for everyone. We do 2 cloves of garlic at the meals. We also do lemon juice at the meals. And we're juicing 30 minutes before our meals for very debilitated people. The diet that we recommend is to be organic, plant-based, and high nutrient. We try to eat 70% raw, 30% cooked. We soak and sprout our seeds, and we use pseudograins instead of grains. We use seeds like pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds instead of nuts while people are trying to heal. We use a lot of legumes, and we are soaking and sprouting everything to decrease inflammation and to increase nutrient availability. Tomorrow I will explain more about that in our class. We also eat fruits at one meal and leafy greens at another. Why would we do that? They digest at different rates, and so it's going to improve the ability of your body to digest things. Last year, I was contacted by someone who worked at a California prison. He told me that there was a Seventh-day Adventist man who was in prison. He had converted to the Seventh-day Adventist faith. And this man, he was about to be let out on probation. But he had a visit with his wife. And after the visit with his wife, they checked him for alcohol. And they found that his alcohol levels were too high. And so he asked me to research this and to write to the prison, because he knew that this prisoner would not be drinking alcohol. So did you know that there is a condition where you can have the improper bacteria in here, and that when you digest food, especially if you're eating foods that are sugary, that it can cause your blood alcohol levels to go up? Yeah, did you know that when you ferment foods that you produce alcohol? If you look at kombucha, for instance, it'll tell you that it has like a 3.5% alcohol content. That's why we don't really want to ferment our foods for our microbiome. We want to get our microbiome improved from the environment and this kind of thing. And we don't want to be doing so much. This fermentation, like making kimchi and sauerkraut and this kind of thing, it will produce some alcohol. And it will produce some things that are harmful for the gut. And so if you were a sailor that was on a ship that would not be accessing any fresh fruits or vegetables for a year, then maybe fermented sauerkraut and this kind of thing would be something that would be reasonable. But for those of us who live here and are able to get our food, maybe able to get outside into an orchard, and how many of you are fruit picking right now and going you pick and all of this kind of stuff? This is your homework. If you want to have good health, you want to go outside and access well-grown local foods from the garden and from the orchard. That's how you're going to improve your microbiome. So we eat fruits at one meal, leafy greens at another, because we don't want alcohol formation. What are other ways that alcohol will form in the gut? Eating too much, too frequently. So if you eat between meals, did you know the spirit of prophecy? It says that, you know, for better health, it's better to eat fruits at one meal and vegetables at another. So spirit of prophecy says that, but she says, never. Never should a morsel of food pass between your lips between meals. Yes, and so it's about 5 hours that you want to wait between meals. How many of you are waiting 5 hours between meals? Yes, this will be very, very helpful for you. Hydrate well throughout the day with pure water, but avoid drinking water with your meals because you don't want to dilute the stomach acid, and you want to rest your gut between meals. This subject of rest comes up a lot, doesn't it? So you want to rest between your meals, and you want to rest especially at night. How many of you are eating your biggest meal in the evening and then you go to sleep? See, this is what the world will do. The world will say, you know, there's this thing called intermittent fasting and eating two meals within an 8-hour window, and then you wait 16 hours and that gives your body rest. And so people in the world will say, okay, well, I'm going to wake up, I'm not going to eat breakfast, then I'll eat lunch, and then I'll eat my dinner meal, and then I'll go to sleep. You will get some health benefit this way, but you will not get as good a benefit as if you do it God's way. Amen? So what happens when you eat your biggest meal at night before you go to sleep? Let me tell you what happens. So you know, at night is the time where your body does all its work. You know, like if you work at a park, say, and all these people come, hundreds, thousands of people come during the day, and they're making a big mess. At night is the time where a lot of employees go through and they clean up everything, right? Now, what happens if you're using your gut, though, and it's working at night, and it's pulling all these immune cells to help it? Well, then the stomach doesn't have time to rest, and your immune cells don't have the proper energy that they need to go and do what they need to do. It's kind of like if I were to go and visit one of you at your house, and then you say, Joyce, here's your bedroom. I say, okay, thank you, and I go to sleep. And then you wake me up at 10 o'clock, and you say, Joyce, can you come and help me clean the kitchen? And I say, oh, okay. But if you did this to me night after night after night after night, do you think our friendship would be very good? See, this shows you the beauty of God's creation, doesn't it? How many of you have abused your body year after year after year, and yet your body says, I will keep on forgiving, and I will keep on trying? This is a beautiful story of forgiveness, isn't it? If you go on YouTube and you look up white blood cell chasing bacteria, it's a YouTube video of this white blood cell and all of these red blood cells, and it's chasing a bacteria around. It looks like this amazing game show type of thing, right? This, like, internet game, right, where you're trying to kill something, but it's happening in your body. And you realize, who's the person that has the most say in who's going to win? It's you. So whenever I get sick, or whenever I've done something against and I've sinned against my body, I say, body, please forgive me. And whenever my body is going crazy and I feel scared, how many of you have had stuff happen in your body and you're scared because things are going crazy? You say, body, by God's grace, I'm going to help you all get through this. By God's grace, we're going to get through this. I will be a good captain of this ship. Amen? Amen? Yes, by God's grace, we're all going to be captains of our ship. So the principles are: eat to heal the gut, avoid toxins, especially glyphosate, avoid genetically modified foods. Why are modified foods not so good? One reason is that when they genetically modify the genes, when they modify these genes, it's a very violent and harmful way of doing things. The other thing is that it has harmful health effects that we might not be aware of because this is very new technology. And number three is this. When you are eating a GMO food, it has been engineered so that it can tolerate glyphosate. So you know they're spraying lots of glyphosate on it. And while all the weeds around that plant will die, that plant will imbibe the glyphosate and pass it on to you. So this is not what we want. We want to avoid these things, avoid additives and preservatives, and be aware of food sensitivities, testing, and this kind of thing. We also want to avoid hyperglycemia. We also want to avoid hyperglycemia and hypoglycemia by having good food combinations. That's why in our cookbook we have what a good breakfast and lunch looks like for 7 days. We make the dinner meal very light, onion broth or fast. Or if you are somebody who does a lot of heavy labor or needs to eat, maybe you're losing weight and this type of thing, you can eat some fruit and some of the breads. We have bread recipes that we can show you how to make in the cookbook as well as in the course and that kind of thing. Very easy bread recipes. We chew small amounts of food slowly and thoroughly. We eat in a pleasant atmosphere. This will very much affect your digestion. We exercise before meals, do a digestive walk slowly after your meals. We avoid grains and nuts within the first few months while we're trying to heal, just because they are a little bit more difficult to digest. We use pseudograins instead of grains, pumpkin and sunflower seeds instead of nuts, and flax seeds and chia seeds to further decrease inflammation. So these are some of the basic things. This is in the cookbook as well, so if you want to look at it in the cookbook, you're welcome to. I am going to show you some pictures of foods that are high risk. And one of the reasons that they might be high risk are that, number one, they have GMOs. For instance, corn, soy are over 90-some percent genetically modified. And the way that I heard about this was actually through the Adventist Agricultural Association, where these farmers were talking about the risk of cross-pollination. Because you can grow GMO corn right next to normal corn, and you can have this issue with cross-pollination. A lot of people are having sensitivities and this kind of thing, and so we've just found it easier. We deal with so many people who are really, really sick, wanting to get their life back, and so we just don't risk it, and we do it this way. Also, these foods can be quite addictive. Anything that is processed like this, they have kind of engineered it so that you will want more and more and more. Now, I put these pictures up here because these are foods that a lot of us love to eat. We will have our healthy food, like, and we'll have haystacks. Haystacks is a pretty healthy food if you look at it, you know, on average. Like, it has like lettuce and tomatoes and all kinds of vegetables and beans and this kind of thing. But at the bottom, you're going to have a lot of times corn chips. And a lot of times when you come to church potlucks, you don't know. Have my friends at church, do they care about whether something is genetically modified or not? And so many of us, we eat in faith. I have faith that I can eat pretty healthy all through the week, and then maybe one day a week when I come to church, I'll have a minor setback. That's ironic, isn't it? So that is why when we go to churches, we teach people, we take our food where we go. We want to know that our food is safe, that we're not going to have a setback. For some of you, if you eat some of these foods, it can set you back for weeks. I know of a lady, she was put on ciprofloxacin over 20 times for urinary tract infections. And she developed Lyme disease, she developed MS. And I asked her, what was your diet like before? She was trying to be healthy. She said, well, you know, maybe once a month I would eat pizza. Maybe, but it was once a month that she was eating pizza, once a month that maybe she would do ice cream, once a month that she would maybe be doing something else, right? How many of you are the same kind of way? Well, you know, on average, my diet's pretty good. Every once in a while, I'll have a dessert. I have dealt with patients, so like I go through and do a 24-hour food journal with them. What did you eat for breakfast today? What did you eat for dinner last night? What did you eat for lunch? And they'll say, well, last night we went to Panda Inn Express and had some Chinese food. That's very unusual. That doesn't happen very often. I will tell you something. If you told me it happened last night, I'm pretty sure it's happening pretty often. And so we have to get very honest and real with ourselves, because otherwise we won't have an accurate picture of what is happening. Let's keep going, otherwise I could keep talking your ear off about this. Now, these are foods, These are foods that you would think of as being pretty healthy. Cheerios. I love Cheerios because I thought these are oats. And how can that be bad? Well, if they spray glyphosate all over them, then yes. And they have found that a lot of our foods that are healthy, healthy breakfast foods, have high residues of glyphosate in them. And so we want to be sticking with foods that have been organically grown. You can find places that will distribute food that has not had glyphosate sprayed on them. I go through Azure Standard. Azure Standard will distribute all over the United States, and they are very intentional about not having foods that are sprayed with glyphosate and having GMOs and this type of thing. You can, you know, if you go to the store and get buckwheat, it's like almost $4, maybe more now here in California, I don't know, $4 a pound. I can get it for less than $2 a pound if I buy a large bag from Azure Standard. So some people think that it's expensive to eat this way. No, you just find a way to make it work for you. And a lot of times it's cheaper. We've talked to people in the Philippines and Africa who are implementing eating this way, and they say, we're able to make it work because we're eating foods that are less expensive than we used to. So our friend who came through Years Restored, she got better every day. Her blood glucose dropped so much that she would have hypoglycemia in the middle of the night. Mercy would have to go and feed her applesauce and that kind of thing. But you can see that her weight dropped to 128 from 148. Her ankle swelling was gone. Her weakness was gone. Her brain fog was gone. The depression was gone. The bumps on the skin of the back of her upper arms all gone. Abdominal bloating gone. Joint pain gone, long-distance vision significantly improved, her TPO dropped from 300 and something down to 180, and she was able to take vacations, she was able to start riding her horses again, she got her life back. You know, we were having a discussion with another gentleman who came to the program, and he's like, you know, I believe this lifestyle is very helpful. He was able to get off of his hyperthyroid medications because of this, and he said, though, I'm not going to impose this upon my kids because I don't want to be too strict. How many of you are afraid of being too strict on your kids? This lady, after she'd been bedridden for so many years, she leaned over, she tapped him gently on the leg, and she said, it's not strictness. She said, it's love. Brothers and sisters, we can find a loving way to help our families get on board. That's what we want to do. Because why? Spirit of Prophecy says this, we shall soon reach a time when we must understand the meaning of a simple diet. This is Sister White writing this over 100 years ago, and she said, we are going to go into a time when our diet is going to have to be simpler than this. The time is not far hence when we shall be obliged to adopt a diet very different from our present diet. Isn't that amazing? Why might that be that you might have to adopt a diet that's different? You know, in Joel, it talks about the corn being destroyed. It talks about the seed being destroyed. It talks about the wheat and the barley. You remember hearing those things from the prophet Joel? We are seeing this happen today right in front of us. Satan is working to destroy the food system because he wants to destroy God's people. And we have seen the effects. We are seeing fear take over the world in a way that it never has before. And Seventh-day Adventists, if we had heard the message in 1888 where Ellen White said it is time for Seventh-day Adventists to move to the country, we would be a light. We would know how to grow food. We would know how to heal. We would know how to eat in such a way that these things could not hurt us in the same way that it is hurting the world. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that it is not too late. This is what Dr. Rubel said at the time of the Spanish flu when he found out what happened with the 10 sanitariums that treated Seventh-day Advent or treated people. He said this: what shall Seventh-day Adventists do to be ready for such experiences as the Spanish flu? He said, we have known from Bible teachings for many years that such times were coming. We have been told over and over again to prepare for these experiences by what? Well-ordered lives, and by securing such a preparation for service as would enable all our people to minister to the sick and distressed in such a time. Brothers and sisters, when we went through this last pandemic, there were many of us that were so scared. We couldn't leave our homes. We couldn't go out and do things. We couldn't go out and take care of people. And I think it is good for us to be prudent and for us to be careful. Amen? I'm not saying that we should be careless about our lives or this kind of thing. But we should be looking for, as quickly as possible, how do we understand this situation? And how can I get out and do what it is that God put us on this earth to be a light and a blessing to the world? He says that during this pandemic, every Seventh-day Adventist has had 10 times as many opportunities for service as he could fill if he had been ready for them. What a chance for missionary endeavor and for practicing that pure religion and undefiled of which James speaks. Some, however, have been so fearful of contracting the disease that they have refrained from offering assistance to the distressed until the disease actually invaded their own families, while others have exceeded their strength in ministry to the sick. Very sobering, amen. We want to be amongst the people who are prepared. We know that there are going to be difficult times. We want to be a light to the world. Amen? The Bible, this is my last verse. It says this in Psalms 23, verses 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And what does it say here? You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Brothers and sisters, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God says he prepares a table. There is food that we can eat that will bring healing. Amen? How many of you are determined today, Jesus, help me to find this way. Help me to love this way. Help me to be somebody who will love your way more than anything in my own life. Amen. Let us close with a prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for how you have worked through history, through the Bible, to show us that your ways are powerful, that you are real. That even though the world is going crazy around us and it seems like we cannot stand, Lord, just like when those spies went out into Canaan and they came back and all those people were afraid of the giants, there were faithful ones who said, we can overcome this. We can win. Because why? Because God is with us. Lord, help us to be those people of faith. Help us to be those people of faith who will lift up our brothers and sisters, who will encourage each other to be faithful and to have courage so that we can see Jesus. Help us to eat according to our belief system and help us every decision that we make to be faithful. In all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is this on?